Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation.
Hey, City Church, welcome to More Than That. I'm Gus Bird, sitting here with Pastor Raphael Magandla. Once again, More Than That's just a podcast in addition to the sermon to give the pastor an opportunity to add on to the sermon. Sometimes you have to cut things out that you wish you could have said, so just offers them a chance, another opportunity to offer a nugget to the body of Christ. So this Sunday we went over Exodus chapter 6, and it's a lot to go over, so I'm sure the pastor has a lot he's been mulling over to offer the church. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna give him that chance to to offer that up. But the question we always ask is, Pastor, yep, if you had 10 more minutes with your congregation, what would you say to them based on this last week's text?
I mean, the most important thing was, I think I could really camp a little bit more on just the importance of God. Especially when you look at God having to remain steadfast in what he has said, no matter the circumstances, no matter, like, so we remember, like, in chapter 3, the people are groaning and they're crying because of slavery, and then God hears that, and then he says, hey, I'm back, I'm here to keep the covenant that I promised. I want to do the same, the promise I made to Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, and Jacob. And then so he sends Moses. Moses goes and he tells the people what God wants to do, and the people rejoice. So when they after they rejoice, they find themselves just expectant. And so I think you touched on that. Mm-hmm. Where are they not working anymore, or are they, you know, yeah, they're living in that expectation right there and there, like where God, there's a promise that God is going to deliver. Mm-hmm. But things actually turn from bad to worse. Yep. From bad to worse, so that when you finally get to chapter 6, the people are now, they hear the same things from God. So verse 9 is going to say that they literally did not they did not believe Moses, because they didn't listen to him or believe him, because of their broken spirit and then their hard labor. Mm-hmm. So you get to see now God is saying the same things, but the people and their expectations of when deliverance is going to come and when, so we at least we are given the beautiful, at least like vantage point of the fact that we see it at the end that he eventually is going to deliver them. And then we see it at the end in chapter 23 of Joshua that he does take them to the promised land. And we see it through the book of Kings and all that man, like the Davidic, that God's people are going to multiply. Mm-hmm. And then we get to see it through at least the lens of Jesus coming, and that, yeah, God is consistent in actually saying, this is who I am. I'm going to be remembered in all generations. But then really just like what I would have camped on a lot is just, it can be so annoying, obviously, for you to hear the same thing same things mm-hmm. as your circumstances are changing, but you're hearing the same things, and to believe the same things about the same things you've heard about God, even when, you know, it's yeah. almost like there's just this one key for yeah. every single. And yeah, so I would have actually just spent a little bit more, because this is actually where the human problem lies. We're progressive people. Mm-hmm. We have a time of beginning and a time of ending in life. We have cycles of growth. We take people through kindergarten all the way to like to getting into what we call a terminal degree. even after you do a terminal degree, after that you have to keep pushing the envelope up forward and more and more. You know, like we are people that are always a progressing people.
Right.
But like, and so that is probably one of our biggest problems when it comes to believing and understanding what God has said, because he says things once and that's it. and he reveals himself once and that's it. And so, and he keeps that, and he's consistent with that revelation, even when you finally get to all the way to the cross, that's still God literally proving and showing the same steadfast like character that he is, that he is a God who has promised deliverance. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that just that dynamic, and then really then that dynamic having to play into, man, like just even to some of our most basic issues of really having to go down to like, man, God has promised and he says he will do it and he will never change his stance. So therefore, according to theology, he is immutable. Mm-hmm. So how then do I relate with that in my ever-changing world that yeah. needs maybe some type of progression, mm-hmm. that needs some type of growth, that needs some type of things to change in some way, but having an unchanging God in changing times and changing circumstances and all that, what does that look like? And that's actually like really what I think even the thrust of that. It's just, and I love that First Timothy passage that I read at the end, where basically like it's like, yeah, if we're faithful, if we're faithless, he remains faithful because mm-hmm. he cannot deny himself. And there, it's like if we endure, if he died so that we'll be resurrected, and like you're watching all these things, but at the end there, you get to see that. But hey, listen, you are so different from him. Mm-hmm. So it just maybe taking that and further working it out to, like, man, like how do we endure through suffering? Maybe it's actually holding on to the fact that this is the only constancy mm-hmm. in life. The fact that, like, and seeing his character is more like the guarantor to the fact that, like, if I have this kind of God on my side, mm-hmm. who never changes what he has said, man, then maybe going back to what you had said, we are not exempt from suffering, but we are actually exempt from hopelessness. Mm-hmm. Why? Maybe actually even going back to like, because we have this guy who says it,
yeah.
and his word is final. Mm-hmm. And even though the outplayings of that might look different.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Like, so just kind of like,
yeah.
you know, we go through hardships and we stop praying. Mm. Like, and then just kind of maybe even fleshing out on the implications of that in terms of like, hey, you go through hardships, pray, because, you know, pray, go back to God's word, because there you will find, you will actually maybe, like Psalm 73, we include that in our lament round. Mm-hmm. Psalm 73 has this thing of like, man, you are in this source, this place of disorientation. How do you get back to a new orientation and be resurrected out of your own disorientation of where you are? Maybe it's because of suffering, disease, and all these other things, because we live in a fallen world. the best thing you can do is what in Psalm 73 says, 17 says, and then I went into the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. Like getting a glimpse of this unchanging God is able to anchor us a lot more better than just getting disappointed with God and walking away just because he didn't answer us at the right time. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? Like it's just, so I would have kind of just worked a little bit more on that.
Right.
That would literally just be, it's literally a series on its own. So.
Huh. So it sounds like in one hand we can grow tired of God's unchangingness.
Yeah.
But on the other, it is that unchanging character of God that is our hope. Right. Which is interesting because if you listen to a lot of people who in their life experiences, you know, you hear this thing like God became more kind to me, or he came through and became more loving to me.
That I revealed myself. Yeah,
he's always been the same, caring and loving. It's just,
but are you about to know me as
you opened yourself
even,
up to
I am like,
that experience?
But it doesn't mean that like he is changing who he is. His name never changes. Who he is never changes. But our experience of him is what deepens and changes. That's why I said even that anniversaries are like a lot more celebration of like I know you more.
Yep.
And like it's like a deepening of the covenant.
Yep.
But yet really at the end of the day, this is where now like the mind-blowing part of this is. I revealed myself to Abraham. But when God initially cut that covenant with Abraham, we know that Abraham was sleeping.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Which was actually like a metaphor of almost like a very good picture of like, listen, I'm the bigger guy in this covenant. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't exhaust my side of this covenant. Because the issue that's there is the fact that like if both parties were to be present and consciously do what they know that they're doing, so really at the end of the day, if they were to be present and sign that, it means that if one of them breaks covenant, like it'll cost them their lives.
Yep.
So God obviously puts him to sleep because he's like,
I got both sides.
Yeah, I've got both sides.
Yeah.
Which is actually then what you're basically saying. Mm-hmm. I've got both sides even far more than you know.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to show up 400 years later and I'm going to do this. And I'm going to show up later on, even like, you know, you remember the time of Judges and like things are going and that just everything is spiraling down. Remember the time of Saul, he shows up through David and he shows up even later on through guys like Daniel, Jeremiah, Nehemiah.
Yeah.
Like he shows up and then we see him even showing up, showing steadfast love to the Ninevites. We see him showing up, showing steadfast love, even showing up, even the intertestamental time is like 400 years of silence between Malachi and Matthew. And him showing up, it's like, Abraham, you don't know.
Yeah.
When I'm telling you, your descendants are going to be like the sand. Mm-hmm. Like, you just don't know. And then so my thing is that like, I think even Abraham is going to still get full blown up when finally like when Christ comes to consummate everything, because it's going to be like, this is more than sand, God, this is insane. Right? So which is actually like, we live in time and space and we're so limited in our perspective of God, and in such a way that like it's so easy to give up on him and be disappointed. But yet, like what you said, I think we ask God to change things when things are actually unbearable, but yet later on we actually thank God for being unchanging when we look at it hindsight and we realize, if you had given me what I wanted when I wanted it, actually, like I always say, it would have been totally detrimental for me.
It's like Tim Keller says, God answers your prayers the same way you would if you knew everything God knew.
yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, it's like if he had answered those prayers. Mm-hmm. In fact, part of being a believer has to be actually like praising God for even just his unchangingness in not answering some of our prayers. Because in not answering some of our prayers, like, we need to spend time literally just saying, God, I am so glad you did not give me $1 million. Because you know, like, look at this. I just had $1,000 and I totally forgot you for a week. So you know what? You know what? Yeah, let's keep that million kind of trickling just a little bit.
In light of eternity.
Yeah, in light of eternity. Because, like, that's just... I would mess this thing up. I'm so glad that you literally give me this much influence instead of that much, because I would literally, you know, so I don't know. That's now looking at this. So it then kind of gets us now into this place where we have to now say, okay, so how then do we... There's going to be moments when we're going to be faithless, when we're going to look at circumstances, when we're going to look at our suffering, and we're going to look at, you know, and just maybe really have a shaken heart and maybe be tempted to disbelieve. How then do we get rescued from that? Which is actually what I think I was really trying to paint a picture. Focus on this covenant giver, this covenant giving and covenant keeping God.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
It's good. Well, we did receive a question. For those who are listening, if you didn't know, you can submit questions about the sermon. If you go on the Church Center app, there's a link called Questions About the Sermon. And you can submit questions there, and we might include it like we are right now. One of the questions is, basically, throughout the sermon, you make some illustrations and stuff that it may be confusing if God promises, if you can expect God to deliver you out of a hardship, or is the purpose you keeping faith through the hardship? So... I don't know how you want to interact with it, if you want to kind of unpack that more, if you want to clarify.
I mean, I would say that, like, being expectant of deliverance should be actually, if you look at him and see him as a God who is sufficient, who is El Shaddai, the mountain one, the one who is actually saying, because at the beginning of that passage, he's like, I'm about to do this. I'm about to do this.
It's like Babe Ruth pointing his bat.
It's one of those.
It's gonna
things
go out the park.
It's gonna go. Yeah. So if I think actually it's like, instead of that being a confusing thing, it should be like, should we expect God to deliver? Yes. We are a community. In fact, Christianity is a religion of hope, where we're constantly living in the hope of where people who are, it's a Gordon Fee says this, we're an eschatological community. Like, right, it's just one of those things because of the resurrection of Jesus. Like, it's like, if you really look, Hebrews chapter 11 is gonna say all these people, after going through the Hall of Fame, Hall of Faith, all these people were looking forward to what? The promises. And then he's now saying that, like, even us now, Christ comes and then that's a promise. They were waiting for it. And then after that, he's going to say, let us run this race, right? Like, right, fixing our eyes on what? Jesus. And that fixing our eyes on Jesus, actually, I would actually argue that it not only gives you endurance during hardships, but it also gives you hopeful expectation of his coming. You see what I mean?
It sounds like the answer to, short answer to this question is yes.
Yes, that's really what it is. Yeah. So it's because we know that he's eventually, God is still going to deliver the Israelites. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is something he's going to do. But when?
Yeah.
That's where the issue is at. It's, yeah. I would say to those people that maybe just like offer up prayers that are seeking for deliverance. Yeah. Expect deliverance, but still expect it at his time mm-hmm. versus actually like, and then so expect it, but then it's also as well, just know that if it doesn't come, it's still within God's schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's maybe God is still taking me to Washington, D.C., but we're going to probably have to go through this route instead of the expected route.
Yeah.
I think that's actually like, expectation is okay, but then it's actually like, but his will, his way, which way are we going to go?
Yeah.
It's like God is going to deliver them, but which way? Do you remember actually like, there's something very interesting. A lot of people usually end up actually being really, really rattled by the fact that God takes them through the desert.
Oh, yeah.
But he actually says it. He's like, I know people. I know my people. If I take them through this side, in fact, they're going to get so comfortable. They're going to just, it's going to be easy for them to just go back.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to take them through this way where at least I'm going to show them that, hey,
yeah.
We need to be dealing with what you talked about.
Mm-hmm. The idols of the heart, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, we talked about how, you know, Pharaoh, what was his first response? Who's this Yahweh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and they spend that 40 years in the desert learning.
yeah, learning him, yeah. Yeah. So if the other side would be then, but what do we do in the midst of waiting? Yep. Like, I think that is actually where...
It's the hardest part.
Yeah, that's the hardest part. Like, I will tell you the truth. Like, I you know, my wife just went through a surgery, right? Mm-hmm. I think the hardest part...
was the waiting
through,
room.
Yeah, like, through a lot of, like, for example, this is the second time she's had, like, health problems. There was one day when I was at the Chicago airport and I was flying to San Diego. And so she calls me and she's like, babe, I can't feel my hands. I can't feel my side and all that stuff. Yeah, we're going to the hospital and all that. I get in the plane. I forget all about actually that you can buy Wi-Fi or whatever it is to try to figure out. But like I get in the plane and I spend almost 3 to 4 hours in that plane. That was probably the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least when I land, I call my mother-in-law. She tells me what's going on. But the hardest part was that. It's the same thing, like, right when you're in between. Yeah, they said I've got cancer. How way is it? How severe is it? What stage is it? What's going on? All those questions. I think even for me, that sermon was also even talking more about, man, what do we do?
Yeah.
We hold on to his what? His commitment to us, which is actually like what you see here in the middle. That's where God reveals his covenant commitment. That's when he shows you that, listen, I haven't forgotten his covenant commitment. And then that's when he reassures of his covenant commitment.
Mm-hmm.
What do we need? We need to maybe keep our eyes more on his covenant commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that, like, yea, though I walk, I just King James that version. even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which is what I ended up saying to my wife as we were driving, as she was about to have surgery, just really nervous. And saying, this is what God promises us. I will fear no evil because what? God, you are with me. Your rod and your staff. Yeah. So it's almost like, but right there is where the sufficiency comes in.
Yeah.
is in the fact that, like, I'm going to hold on to this unshakable character.
Yep.
Who has pledged, who has promised, like what I said at the beginning, that he's never going to leave me nor forsake me. And in fact, those are some of the things that, like, when you read the book of Hebrews, while they're going through trials and all that, what does the author of Hebrews actually appeal to? Don't worry about, like, you know, he's going to say God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And what? He will help. He's going to be your helper.
Mm-hmm.
And so that for me, I would say yes and yes.
Yeah. There's so many questions in the theology are can be, we expect it to be an either or.
yeah, an either or. But I would say we should expect glory.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, we should expect the suffering.
Yeah.
Like it's, and we should, but yet in there we should endure. But mm-hmm. when now our faith has been shaken, like it says there, and this is like 2 Timothy 2:11. This is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we'll also live with him. If we endure with him, we'll also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. But you know, like that, like if we deny him, he will also deny us. There is actually like why are we denying him? We're denying him because maybe we are actually refusing to actually believe what's going before.
Mm-hmm.
The steadfastness of his, like that, like we died with him, we're living with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we endure with him, and then we'll also reign with him. But then if we are faithless, he remains faithful.
Yeah.
He cannot deny himself. So then, how then, if we're faithless, like the reason why he denies those who will deny him is because now they're refusing to actually go back to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
When their faith has been shaken to the core,
yeah.
To go back to what? We're faithless at this moment, but then listen, you don't have to stay faithless.
Yeah.
You need to go back and actually go. This is what I reminded my wife of. I said, do you remember how sometimes you always tell me, hey, by the way, don't use that, your card, because there's yeah. we all the money is like, yeah. We don't have enough money yeah. to actually take care of your luxuries, yeah. right? So she's like, hey, don't do anything in that account. So I looked at her right before the surgery. I said, but let me tell you about God's account.
Yeah.
It is inexhaustible.
Mm-hmm.
When we're faithless, he remains faithful. So that, how then do we recharge our faith?
Yeah.
We go back to the bank. And I said, withdraw peace. Withdraw all yeah. those things from him, because that's yeah. like, that at least is the height of that. So it's not a threat as much as it's like, hey, if you end up denying him, he will deny you simply because you blatantly refused to go, even yeah. when you saw the vaults were open, to go yeah. and withdraw mercy at the time of need.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how people, they view, well, believers in general, we all so often believe that deliverance means I'm no longer in these current circumstances.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's also deliverance if he endures us through the circumstances.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to fulfill my promises. It's not going to look one way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's, yeah, we have this, I guess, narrow view of how God will fulfill the promise. Like, if it were me, I'd do it this way.
Yeah, but, yeah. But, and at the same time, though, how then do we, I would say, I am grateful today for how God didn't deliver me mm-hmm. at the time when I needed deliverance sometimes, like, but yet he decided to conform me to the image of his son during that time.
Yep.
Like, in a better way, in a, yeah. In a way that there is a way that trials have a way of awakening our desperation and awakening our, like, unclogging our ears, where we hear him in a fresh way. We grow a lot more, like many plants, they grow more in the dark, right? Yeah. And so it's that there, like the grace that is found in darkness.
Yeah.
can be sometimes amazing, even though I cannot see clearly what he's doing. But yet, that's why when they're doing surgeries, usually you're under.
Yeah.
How was it? I didn't know. But yet, I know the results of it. I went in there with this, and I came out without it. But how was it?
Yeah.
Except those surgeries where they have your eyes open and they're doing it. Those are terrible.
Yeah. Just put me out, please.
Yeah, just put me out. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's...
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the nuggets of wisdom. And again, if you guys have questions about the sermon or want clarifications or anything, again, the link is on the Church Center app. And just really appreciate you guys listening. And next week we'll be diving into Psalms, right?
Yes, so. Yes. So. Unavoidable now.
Yeah. It's midweek. Out there.
Yeah. There you go.
So this has been Raphael and Gus Bird with More Than That. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.